is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Stryker,
Dr. Drew.
Adam Stryker?
Anderson, good job over there, man. That was good. This is Loveline. I'm Stryker, in for Adam. I was working today at K-Rock doing the show here, and about 5 o'clock, Ann runs in. You're doing Loveline tonight. I'm like, cool. Anthony Kiedis is on. Even better. What's happening, man?
How you doing, Stryker?
I'm outstanding. I'm excited. I feel energized right now.
Really?
Yeah, I had a great day, and it just keeps on going.
Let's go all night.
We're going. I think I am. Okay. I will. Drew?
No.
No.
No way.
No? All right, fine. At 12, I'll go home, and I'll go to sleep. All right. I'll probably play a video game, watch TV.
I'm looking at the cover of Anthony's book, Scar Tissue. Is this underwear on your head?
That is a T-shirt.
Okay.
You're fantasizing wildly.
I thought it was a
there.
Surfboard.
Huh?
What?
Kind of.
Behind him?
Yeah, behind
him. Yeah, but see, there's something under his arm here, and it goes up over his head.
Okay, this is like Rorschach.
It's radio. It's bad radio. It's all Stryker I know how to do.
Right, bad radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part.
We talk about things that are in the studio and no one else knows about.
Anthony Kiedis, you guys have to know, lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers from L.A., Fairfax High.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a former, I went to L.A. USD school, Pali High.
Okay.
And that's where you met all your bandmates, right?
At Fairfax.
Right.
Yeah, because Fairfax. I got kicked out of University High School.
Oh, you did?
Thanks goodness, yes.
And then because of that, that's how you met Flea.
Right, these Hello. Funny little twists in life that lead you along the way.
Everything happens for a reason, do you think?
Well, that happened for a good reason, because mm-hmm. had I gone to uni, I would have never met Flea or Hillel.
Right.
And I wouldn't have had this whole kind of musical experience.
The book is called Scar Tissue, which was a huge, gigantic song for you guys. Mm-hmm. And it came out in October, and it's doing really well. And there's so many unbelievable stories in here, which maybe I can just set some up.
Have you read that book?
I have not read the book.
Oh.
But I've browsed it. I've checked out some of the pictures are amazing in it. Seeing you as a kid and seeing you with your dad. Seeing mm-hmm. the shot of you in that really cool hat with the big buttons on your jacket, which you didn't want in the book, which it ended up in the book, I guess. It's a really beautiful shot. Do you know which one I'm talking about? You're very, very young.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Tim playing Please Don't Break the Ice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I think there's a picture of you as really young. I don't know how old, 12, 13, smoking a joint.
11
years old.
Yeah.
And now, how did that joint end up in your hand? Was that dad?
It just flew into my mouth.
Flew into the mouth.
I was just sitting there, flew into my mouth.
It wasn't a little birdie or a dad?
No, I just got off the plane from Michigan. I asked my mother when I was about 11, can I please go live with my dad in California? Because it's really cool out there and it's fun and I love my dad and I'm a little boy and I want to go be on the West Coast. And she said, okay, it's a bummer for me, but go do what you got to do. And as soon as I got there, I was a no drugs guy. I was this kid who was like, I'll never do drugs. And I sat down at the kitchen table with my dad, and there was this young girl there. And he broke out the top to a dictionary box, and he rolled up a marijuana cigarette, and he started smoking. And I was like, wow, that looks good. Let me try that. He's like, all right.
How old were you?
11.
Oh, boy.
Trauma. Ooh. And we smoked it, and it felt good, and it was fun, and that was the beginning.
And from that point on, in terms of marijuana use, was it pretty consistent at 11 through 12 through 13?
It got real consistent. I became that guy who was, you know, pretty motivated to get high every day, but not immediately in the beginning. I liked it. I felt like I had discovered some sort of magical key to the universe.
That's usually how pot makes people feel when they get addicted to it.
I wanted to tell all my friends. I was like, you guys, you got to try this stuff. It's fun. We'll jump around and climb trees.
Where in L.A. were you living?
West Hollywood on Palm Avenue.
And your dad, he was an actor, right?
At that time, he was not. He would soon become an actor. About 3 years down the line, he would study with Lee Strasberg and become an actor.
Your dad, I know he's still alive. He works with you guys, or he works for your website, the Chili Peppers website?
He runs it. He's been running it for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really? Yeah. That's a huge job.
It is, and he kind of took it on as his onus, you know, to his kind of, you know, payback, because we started, you know, sort of living this symbiotic father-son relationship late in life. you know, I started helping him out because he moved back to Michigan, and then he's like, okay, well, I want to help you out. I'll run the fan club.
And so when you were younger, I guess it was more of friends than dad-son?
Well, I looked up to him like a father. You know, to me, he needed to be this perfect, heroic, great figure of a man because he was my dad. But our day-to-day relationship was very much like friends, mm-hmm. like close friends. You know, he's still...
He looks like a young, like a, he's like a kid himself. Look at him.
Yeah,
he's not an adult.
Right.
Hey, what are you saying?
At that time, maybe he is now, but...
Not so much now.
Now it's cool.
We were friends.
16, adults, good.
Yeah.
Anthony Kiedis is here, by the way, in Loveline. Dr. Drew to my right, I'm Stryker, filling in for Adam. How many records have the Chili Peppers put out? About 9 or 10 now?
Every time someone asks me, I have to count it up. I think it's 8 or 9.
Okay.
Depends if you count the EP, which you really shouldn't.
The Chili Peppers, by the way, your band, I don't want to say invented, I don't know if that's the right word, but you were doing the funk, rock, hip-hop, creating your own sound, George Clinton-esque. You even worked with George Clinton. He produced your second record?
He did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before anyone knew what it was.
That's good.
And you keep on doing it, but still creating it in a different sort of way. And not every song is that formula that you guys do.
No, hopefully whatever we're doing now and next will also be before anybody knows what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you guys, as a band, off the book for a minute here, because I'm such a huge fan of the band. Are you guys... shocked ever that it's still going so freaking strong?
I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Okay.
Because we love it so much and the ingredients are so good together and there's so much love in the experience still. And John is such a devoted musician.
Prashante, we're talking,
you know,
about.
Just possessed with learning and growing and evolving and doing something new. And Flea is the same. You know, when I met Flea, he was 15 years old. He was playing trumpet, and he's never lost the fire to play music. You know, then he found the bass guitar, and mm-hmm. then he plays upright bass, and he goes back to trumpet, and now he's got a studio in his house. And so kind of being in the midst of people that are, you know, impassioned with sound and new music, I would be shocked if it didn't keep rolling.
When now back to the book in your youth in Fairfax High, and Flea was so into the trumpet at the time. How did you guys...
Make a band
and first connect at Fairfax? Because stereotyping a trumpet player in high school wasn't the coolest dude in school.
Right. We started off by getting in a fight.
Okay.
The day we met. You and Flea.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Being sort of exiled from Westwood and in this new territory, I knew no one at school. And I made a friend with a little nerdy guy named Tony Schur. And he was my one and only friend. And Flea came up, who was then called Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed my one and only friend in school. I was like, if you push him again, you're going to pay.
Dearly. Flea pushed your friend.
Flea pushed my friend. He's right. Like, what? I've known this kid for 5 years. You can't tell me not to push him. I've been pushing him for 5 years. Right. Who are you? And I was like, I'll be your best friend for life.
Wow.
My name's Anthony, yeah.
Damn. And then didn't you end up making out with his sister at one point? Flea's sister?
Yeah.
how do you deal with that? How do you like that one?
He suggested it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, I've got the sister. She's a couple years older. When she comes back from Australia, you got to meet her. She's hot.
older than you? Wait, she older than?
Yeah, older than. Okay. A couple years older than me.
Right.
And then, you know, we didn't ever think about playing music together, really, you know, sort of professionally or formally or anything like that. We did go on a trip to Yosemite. At the age of 16 with no gear whatsoever, just climbing over mountains.
Wow.
And we started making up songs. We started singing together and making up words and melodies and phrases and just bizarre rhyming stuff. And that was really the beginning of our musical relationship. But it wouldn't be till about another 4 years that someone else actually suggested to Flea and Hillel, hey, hello, Anthony, put him in your band.
Right. Did your dad, who seems like kind of an out there guy, have any influence on your musical taste growing up?
So far, you've insulted his dad everywhere
possible.
That's
not an insult. No, that's
no,
a good thing.
No, I'd kick his ass.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good thing. He did, because he had great taste in music.
Yeah.
And he was actually one of the first punk rockers I knew in L.A. in the late 70s when everyone was still kind of stuck on classic rock. My dad somehow dialed himself into the Sex Pistols and all these people coming over from England. And he introduced me to K-Rock.
Right.
He really did. We had this white globular radio, and we would listen to Rodney together.
Wow.
Yeah.
This show, Loveline, followed Rodney for years.
How long have you been on?
20 years.
20 years.
Something, 22 years. Loveline used to be from midnight to 3 a.m. after Rodney.
On Sundays then? Man, we're talking to Anthony Kiedis here on Loveline. Scar Tissue is
Stryker
the book.
Stryker was a zygote then, by the way.
Yes, he was.
I first heard of the Red Hot Chili Peppers from a school teacher of mine when I was going to Pali. Tim Doherty, who now teaches at LA High. And he's like, you got to listen to this band, the Chili Peppers. And this guy, so eclectic and such a great guy. And I still talk to him, email, and I'm like, you can't believe what's going on with me. And it's just, I'll never forget my introduction to your band from him.
It's nice to have a teacher like that.
Definitely. And it's also good.
Your parents are still pissed. But
my parents? What are you talking about?
Career radio? How dare you?
Everything's going fine. All right, let's take some calls here with Anthony Kiedis. We'll talk more about the book. There's some really good stories in there. Daniel, you're 14 on Loveline.
No, Angie.
Oh, Angie.
Angie 22, I beg your pardon. They forget this.
Oh, that's nothing?
We're here.
Okay, sorry. Angie.
Yeah,
Angie?
Hi.
From the OC. Hello. What's going on?
Not much. How's it going?
Good.
You're on with Anthony Kiedis.
Speak your piece.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I have a problem with my boyfriend. We've been together for about a year, and I recently found some email that disturbed me that he had been sending to these like internet transsexual escort services.
Woo.
And I was wondering if that makes him, I mean, if he could still be straight and still be interested in that kind of stuff.
How would you feel if they were just sending emails to escort services of women?
In general, it's bad. I mean, it's bad on so many levels.
Yeah, Angie, I just think it's bad on multiple levels. You're right on there. Just stay with that thought.
Could I just ask, why were you checking his email in the first place?
Well, he gave me his password for some reason or another. It's something to do with some eBay transaction or something, and I was curious, and I just looked through his sent mail.
Do you think he's maybe setting her up to find this? Maybe he wants to kind of
introduce a whole new...
Or maybe, is the relationship going okay?
I'm trying to hide it.
Is your relationship going okay with him?
Yeah.
If you start opening up people's email and the drivers, you have to be prepared to find some hidden weirdness that we all seem to have.
I thought maybe I'd find something that he sent to some girl or something, but not to like...
Well, now you found.
Not to the transvestite in West Hollywood.
But I wonder if he was trying to either A, bring this up to you in some way to try to include you in it, or B, scare you away.
Well, he wasn't upset that I looked at his email.
That's what I'm saying.
He was in denial about it. At first, he tried to completely deny it. But, I mean, his picture is slapped right there on the email, so he couldn't really deny it. And he said he was really embarrassed and ashamed.
So is your question, are you wondering if he's straight, if he's gay, if he's into trannies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, you can be awfully damn curious and look at just about everything in the net and not necessarily have to be.
No, he's not looking. He's sending emails to the escort services to meet up with people.
It is
pretty heavy.
Now, obviously, you were checking his emails. Hold on.
The ones that I found.
Angie, what did he do?
Why are we having this conversation?
Well, I wonder what he did, why she's checking his emails. What did he do to get her suspicious?
No. He said there's some transactions with eBay that he was.
Right,
she was but
supposed then
to
she went
on.
Into
and
the
I,
email.
Yeah, she's always because I'm a girl. I'm curious. I don't know. I thought maybe he'd have some emails.
Boys aren't curious.
Girlfriends or something.
Not the way girls are. Mm-hmm. Angie, how is this guy generally? Tell us more about him. Is he okay? The relationship is good. He's available. Sex is normal. What?
Sex is normal. Everything's. I mean, well, I don't know. He's always been really
sex?
Into
relax.
Like anal sex.
He is into anal sex.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hmm. And I never have been, but I mean, I was willing to do it for him, but...
You capitulate?
This has a slightly bogus quality to this call, but is this for real, right, Angie? For real call?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Why, because you hear the TV in the background?
He was over it, and he was interested in it a long time ago, and he was over it, and he was really embarrassed, and he wanted to talk to me about it, but he couldn't because he's embarrassed. But then, like, last week, I looked again, and I found more, and I looked at the cookies on our computer, and I... found that that's exclusively the type of porn that he looks at on the internet. He doesn't look at anything else but
transsexuals, male to female or female to male.
Just they're just pictures of, you know, guys with like chicks with dicks and
Look, I got a lot of things on my computer. I don't necessarily email.
Where did Angie go to finishing school anyway?
Huh?
Where she the whole chick drops the chicks with dicks bomb.
Angie, that's the name of the sites. They're all called Chicks with Dicks. I get it all the time.
There's some great films.
Thank you,
with
Anderson.
That name.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for enlightening us. Okay. Well, listen. I don't know why we spent so much time with Angie, because this guy is...
It's a hot topic.
It's one thing if he is into weird porn. That already is like, you think you don't exist in a vacuum. But if the rest of the relationship is okay, what are you going to do? But he's actually emailing escort services and trying to meet people. That's out of bounds.
Yeah, the escort
I don't care who he's planning to meet up with. You got a problem with this guy. And I don't think this relationship is going to survive this. And you got to look very carefully at why, A, you being such denial is to kind of try to maintain this relationship, and B, why you're attracted to guys like this. So.
She'd be more pissed, I think, if it was just straight girl escort.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Or just a girl that who had an intimate conversation with him. She'd be like, oh my God, he's cheating, as opposed to him meeting up to have sex with escorts.
No, chicks with dicks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a little less tangible when it's chicks with dicks.
Yeah.
Which?
Number two.
Okay.
Daniel, 14.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Drew, I don't know if you remember me, but I've called in a couple times, and Adam's gotten kind of angry. I'm the kid with the huge eyebrows who idolizes him.
Oh, nice. Well, thanks for calling back.
Yeah, no problem. Anthony, I saw you, I was like 2 weekends ago at the Bridge concert at Shoreline.
Wow.
Yeah, you were awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's an awesome event.
What?
It's an awesome event. The Bridge School is just ridiculously beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it was cool. Are you going to be making any more CDs? Like, because I know you guys haven't broken up, but when's your next CD planning to come out?
Well, we're writing it now, and then we'll be recording it sort of December, January, February. And the way things run in this world, it probably will come out in the beginning of summer.
Do you think you guys will work with Rick Rubin?
I think so.
Nice.
We're kind of planning on it.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. That's unbelievable. How often do you talk to Flea in the going into the studio part of putting your album together?
Well, I talk to him every day because we go to practice every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't for the last week, but generally that's what we do. We get together and play music every day.
Nice. Mm. Where are we going? Josh, 18 on Loveline. What's up with Anthony Kiedis?
Wow, Josh? I'm on.
Hey, you're on.
Anthony, I read your book, Scar Tissue. I must tell you it's the best book I ever read.
Nice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part of the book?
Let's see, my favorite part. Honestly, I liked listening about how you grew up. I never knew so much about you.
Cool.
And it's a labor of love writing a book, isn't it?
Yeah, you think it's going to take a couple of months, and it ends up taking a year.
And it's not you're not getting money for it. It's sort of an expression. Well, most books are not a way to make money. Usually, people have a.
They paid me.
Well, that's good. Because usually they just want to.
His story is more interesting than yours, Drew. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah,
have you guys seen Sideways?
No.
Okay, just checking. Josh.
Yes.
Thank you for the high compliment. I appreciate it. I'm glad you read it, and that's kind of why I wrote it, was to describe childhood.
I'm such a big fan of the band. I started listening around like 98, 99, and ever since I've been hooked.
Cool.
That's amazing when there's people about 18 years old who don't know about some of the old stuff, and they started when, like, say, Californication came out.
Yeah, but I tell you, though, some of the stuff you guys have before, it's just amazing. Like, when I heard the demo for Green Heaven, that song just speaks to me.
This guy's on the ball.
You're gay.
Easy.
I didn't say that.
He didn't say that. No, thank you. Demo for Green Heaven. Paid for it out of my own pocket.
Wow. We want to talk to Josh some more?
No.
You got to give him some love.
Bye, Josh.
All right. Ann, what's up? You're 23 on Loveline.
Hello.
You got to understand, when Adam's not here, I want to get through calls. It's such a free, a liberating experience.
I don't know how many calls I'm down for at this point, though.
Oh, relax.
That's good.
Just go easy.
All right.
Go easy. Hi. Ann.
My question is for Anthony.
Don't be surprised if Drew... Go ahead.
My father has hepatitis C.
Yep.
And can't take interferon because his white blood cell count is too low.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. They're usually using things to supplement the white blood cell count with the interferon.
As I understand, his doctor doesn't have him on anything right now. Okay. And we're not really sure where it's going to go from this point on.
Is he sick?
He doesn't tell us that he is.
Is he bleeding from his stomach?
We're not sure. He's acting like it's no big deal.
Do his legs swell up?
Does
his belly swell up?
His belly is a little swollen, but I'm not sure if it's from that. His belly's always been kind of round.
Okay.
My question is, Anthony mentioned in his book that he was taking something called ozone,
mm-hmm.
some sort of herbal supplement, and I wanted to know if he could tell me a little bit more about that or where I could research it, find more.
Whoops. Didn't mean to do that.
You didn't? Is she gone?
She's still there.
No,
oh,
hi.
There. Okay. Well, it's not an herbal supplement. It's actually a gas, and it's illegal in the state of California. So I would never do it in this state, but places like New York, you can take ozone either intravenously or, what do they call it when you take it in your ass? Drew, what's the
rectal.
You can take it rectally. And what it is, it just makes it difficult for a virus to live in your bloodstream. They use it to clean pools. They cleans the water of pools. Same kind of principle. Bacteria and virus have a hard time living in an ozonated environment. But that's if you don't have it so bad. I had it and I actually got rid of it. They can no longer find the viral count in my body. They find the antibody for it, which says that I had it at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But I also took tons of herbs and I eat really good and I exercise and, you know, I prayed about it and it kind of went on its merry way. So that I think I'm kind of an exception. It depends on how bad you have it and what kind of lifestyle you're leading. But yeah, go on the internet.
The one clear thing is if you use alcohol and have hepatitis C, you will get cirrhosis.
Screwed.
End of story.
Yeah.
So
oh,
the
he's
most
sober now. He's been sober. But
that helps.
Now.
So
that's
that helps.
That's
oh, that
important.
Helps.
No alcohol, right?
No, he's right. In a program.
All right. You always got to check. People have different definitions
yes,
of sobriety. Well, good luck, Ann. It's a tough condition. There are multiple research protocols out there, and I think you got to take advantage of that and see a hepatologist. I want to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Huh?
When I was filling in for Jed recently, we did this Catch of the Day,
mm-hmm.
and you guys redid the song Brandy in the live from Hyde Park.
Yeah,
we can play. Can we throw that on?
Please. Oh yeah, please do.
Okay, let's take a break.
Okay,
let's come back, play Brandy.
Yep, perfect.
And then
good
maybe
thinking.
You can tell the story about Cher. And nudity in a bed or something.
Did
like
you tell
that.
Me about that?
What?
Huh?
Did you tell me that story?
I may have warned you about it. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good.
Sounds interesting.
All right, well, we'll talk to more
people
with
people love Cher.
Yeah, they
it's
do.
Incredible.
People probably love her naked as well. Anthony Kiedis is here. Drew, I'm Stryker. More Loveline after this. Back here on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Dr. Drew Stryker and Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Scar Tissue, the book is out. And live from Hyde Park, the live CD, which you guys put out. Tons of songs on there.
Yeah, including Brandy.
Yes.
From 1972, a band called Looking Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And we also covered a song called Black Cross by 45 Grave, which came out sometime in the early 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, we decided to cover the spectrum from sort of easy listening to punk rock.
Well, you guys have a nice spin on Brandy. When I first got the CD, it's been at least a few months since I had it, but Brandy is really cool. You guys, check it out. Let's play the Brandy done by Chili Peppers on Loveline. Hit it.
Sailors pass some time away, talk about their home. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she was laying whiskey down. They said, Brandy, got your love around. She sold them whiskey and wine. I like it. Bottle weight, and though he made it clear, it could.
couldn't stay. No, I'm a what's his own. Loves a man who's not around. She still can't hear him sing.
Awesome.
So good.
What is that from? What's the CD?
It's a band called Looking... Oh, our CD is Live at Hyde Park.
There is not enough live stuff out there. You know
what
I mean?
Was that the biggest crowd you guys have played to? Or was it the Woodstock shows or ones that I probably don't even know about?
The biggest. The biggest is not always the best.
But this is so cool hearing that
yeah,
crowd in the back.
So strong right there.
Yeah, the crowd volume was inspired by a live Kiss record, which John Frusciante is a fan of, and he was so into that record and being able to hear the crowd, he's like, let's turn the crowd
so,
up.
Wait, so the CD's called genius. Live at Hyde Park?
Yep, yep. Yeah, the biggest crowd we ever played
You've got to play that some more during your daytime.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously.
Could you please?
Yeah.
Was in Brazil, where I think all of South America came.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chili Peppers, that was Brandy. Obviously, it's a remake. Anthony Kiedis is here. And just before the break, I mentioned all I said was share.
Mm.
Drew looked at me. Anthony's like, all right.
Yeah.
Can you please tell the story about you and Cher and you growing up?
Yeah, I've told the story several times in the last few months just because, and I thought it was just another story in there, but it turns out people
like it.
Yeah, people like it. Well, when I was a kid in the early 70s, my father's ex-girlfriend Connie Foreman started going out with Sonny Bono. So I became friends with Sonny Bono because that was sort of my surrogate mother on the West Coast.
And one night, Sonny Bono and
he had just
a girlfriend.
Which right.
Is, okay.
My father's ex-girlfriend.
Was he a good guy, Sonny?
Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he took good care of me. He was very kind of...
I've heard he's a good guy, yeah.
Paternal, yeah. And thoughtful and, you know, concerned for a young person like myself. But they wanted to go out one night, and Sonny was actually still sharing an enormous house with Cher, even though they were split.
How weird.
And seeing other people. They were...
Was the daughter there then, too?
Yep. Chastity, yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. And so Sonny and Connie wanted to go out, and they said, Cher, can you watch Tony?
Right.
While we're going out. She's like, of course.
How old are you at the time now?
I think I'm like 13 or 14
okay.
years old. And we're hanging out in her bedroom and we're talking and it's nice. And I have no, you know, crazy sexual interest in the woman because, you know, she's treating me like a kid and I'm treating her like an adult. And it gets time for bed and she goes into the bathroom and I kind of start tucking myself in the bed.
In her bedroom.
Her bedroom.
Yeah.
Her bathroom. And the door is open. And, you know, off come the clothes, and I'm just like, oh, what?
Oh, yes.
And my memory over the years had been that she came back to bed naked and got into bed, and there was no funny stuff. We both went to sleep. Mm. And so that's how I wrote in the book. But then when I called her up to get permission, she's like, hello, I put my pajamas on and came back to bed. You're a little wishful
sure.
kid. So...
Or maybe it was a see-through gown or something you weren't used to seeing.
In future printings, it will be with her in her pajamas.
Right,
but she did, you know, sign off. God bless her.
You had no sexual urges when you saw her naked, but you had had sex by that time in your life, correct?
Correct.
And you're 14? 13?
Started having sex irregularly at the age of 11.
Ooh.
Woo. Can we talk about the first time that you had sex? Yep. Which is all in the book, by the way.
It was traumatic.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was.
I'm sure. Ah. I'm not kidding.
Well, listen to this story,
Dr. Your brain isn't wired for that yet. It's not online with that.
Well, he is.
I mean, you'll manage, but
shocked by this story a little bit, probably. But can you just relay how you lost your virginity, which is all in the book and in more detail in Scar Tissue, by the way. We're talking to Anthony Kiedis.
The way that I lost my virginity, I would not even recommend. But for some reason, from about the age of 10, I started having these very powerful fantasies about being with a woman. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about naked women and Jesus, Louises. I want to take off their clothes and I want to touch them and I want to see what they feel like. And it kind of preoccupied my mind. Mm-hmm. So when I moved out to California, and I saw my father having a very sort of promiscuous lifestyle in 1973. I was like, wow, this is actually, not only in my mind, but it's reality right in my very
own
house.
Something that men do, yeah.
Yeah. And I was drinking and taking Quaaludes at that time
in my 10? Life.
11.
11. 11. Oh, forgive me.
Cusp of 12.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a month before my 12th birthday.
All right. By the way, my kids turn 12 this week.
And they're probably
You're
not
freaking
taking
me out.
Keep an eye on them, Dr. Drew.
Totally effing freaked out.
Different time, different place, different, set of mentalities.
Thank you.
On.
Thank you. Not working. And I'm still freaked out.
I got high and horny. And I said to my dad, is there any way that I could possibly sleep with your girlfriend tonight, please? And he looked at me and he was also, out to lunch on alcohol and pills. And he's like, I'll have to run that by her. I was like, go ahead, run it by her. And he did. And he was like, my son. And she was like, okay. And I was like, thank you, Dad. I'll have her back. Don't you worry.
And take it out for a spin.
Yeah. And it was too much. It was too much for my little 11-year-old self. It was like, she was very kind and giving and, considerate, all things considered.
And effed up.
But she was a sweetheart.
Yeah, but just think about that woman now. Think about, you know what an 11-year-old looks like? I mean, what an 11-year-old is? Forget looks like, but imagine a grown woman doing that with an 11-year-old.
She was 18.
Really? Yeah. She was only 18?
She'd been sexually abused,
too.
She'd been sexually abused.
Yeah. So, it wasn't a horrible experience. I didn't go, I'll never do that again. But it was
overwhelming. Yes.
And I waited about another 6 months before I tried it again.
Was it hard to write the book? Not in terms of there's so many pages, but in terms of expressing how you felt and relaying these stories that a lot of them were probably, personal and close to you.
Yes, but I had relayed them so many times, especially because of being in recovery.
I was going to say, you notice the way he tells the stories? These are very, very intense stories, but they're his.
Right.
You can tell that they belong to you. And this is what happens in recovery in those fourth and fifth steps is you tell it and people accept it with you and it becomes yours.
Yeah, and you kind of, get rid of the embarrassment, the shame,
it's your life. It's yours. It's your story.
Yeah.
And it's just is.
So telling it again in the book wasn't all that, quote unquote cathartic or whatever. It was just I had to decide at a certain point, do I want to say everything or do I want to say most everything? Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to highlight because it's so exquisitely important for our listeners, or at least our callers, who call in the throes of these traumas and want to know how to manage them, what to do with it. This is the goal. Where you're at is the goal with where they need to take this material. They need to make what's called a cohesive narrative out of it, make it their own story.
Yeah,
it's very hard. Mm.
You can read all the stories, once again, Scar Tissue, Anthony's book. He's here, Anthony Kiedis from the Chili Peppers, L.A. band. Love that, representing the West Side, Fairfax High.
Yeah.
Where are we going, Drew?
We got to take calls?
Yeah.
I want to talk to Anthony Sports. It's good. All right, Maria, 27.
Hello, Maria.
Hi. Hey, Anthony. I just wanted to tell you I loved your book. I just finished it a couple weeks ago.
Thank you, Maria. Unlike Stryker, but go ahead.
Hold on, Maria. Anthony, I promise you have my word. I'm going to read it now.
Let me try an experiment. Stryker, you read my book? You see? So Stryker, you're not alone.
Have you read a book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I'm just winding you up. Maria?
I'm going to read it.
Hi.
Okay. Hi.
So, Anthony, I want to tell you, I just think you've got a really beautiful spirit. It was just such a great book. And
thank
my question for you is, mm-hmm. you ever hear from the girl from Kentucky since the book came out?
My girlfriend is sitting in the other room right now. No, I never did. I never did. And sometimes that's the best ending.
It's an honest program of recovery.
Oh, I know.
It's
yeah, the girl from Kentucky was a lovely period many, many, many years ago. And she disappeared into the East Coast night. And I never did hear from her again. And it's probably better to have the memory as such.
Was she in your using days?
Oddly enough, no. That was, I think, it was 1988 or 9 in the very beginning of my first go-round.
I find it weird that she must know that you're telling the story about her.
I don't know.
And I find it weird that she doesn't just email or sort of surface a little
bit.
But
how is she just going to find his email address?
Or whatever, call Loveline. You know what I mean? I find it weird that people they stay submerged when they're an important part of your life.
God bless her. She's allowed to stay submerged.
No, I hear you. I understand. But it seems counterintuitive that they wouldn't sort of want to just touch
you
again.
She might be married with kids and just not even want to.
1989 is a long time ago.
Right?
Yeah.
She could be dead.
You never know.
You don't know.
Mm.
Hopefully not, but hopefully she's just living some life.
It's that thought, though, that makes me think people would want to at least just go, I'm fine, things are great, thanks for mentioning me, and just, you know, close the loop, you know.
How many minutes until the break, Drew?
Now?
Do it? Okay. All right. You've talked about recovery, Drew, in the last few minutes based on the honesty and their Anthony stories. Maybe we can talk about maybe your first time going to rehab and how that all happened and things of that nature, or... our listeners.
Yeah, it's
I heard something about Under the Bridge. What's that story?
Well, that's the greatest song ever, but...
No, but something about a story about Under the Bridge.
There are two different stories. The Under the Bridge story is not the same as the first rehab story. But the first rehab we kind of talked about earlier in this segment.
We were just talking. Okay, well, we can just talk about other things, but... I'm curious for myself, and
I ended up in rehab in a time when rehab was not so fashionable or popular or available. It was kind of, what's rehab? I don't know. It's where you go if you're got a problem with drugs, and I had nowhere else to go, and I sort of went there as a very last resort. It was suggested to me by a friend,
having just had a friend die.
Yeah, I had a friend die, but that didn't stop me from using. Yeah. And it doesn't usually stop other people from using either.
No, it doesn't at all. In fact, you see it escalates it sometimes.
Yeah. It definitely, there's not a lot of logic going on.
Is that
Hillel
you're referring to?
Yeah, Hillel.
Well, that's a whole new segment. Maybe we'll take a break and come back.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's your best friend.
He was my best friend. Yeah.
That deserves more than just a quick, let's get out of it. So, all right, let's take a break and talk to more with Anthony Kiedis on Loveline after this. All right, we are back on Loveline. Dr. Drew, I'm Stryker for Adam, and Anthony Kiedis is here from the Chili Peppers. 15 minutes to my showtime, Dr. Drew.
Yes, it is. The Ultimate Gamer.
Spike TV. Second episode.
So well
about
out here.
The game. It's doing pretty well.
Yeah, I heard.
It's doing all right. We're making a TV show? Yeah. It's about redoing guys' game rooms. Guys' game rooms. Because most of the makeover shows are mostly for girls, I'd say. And this is where we take guys who have a fantasy and give them the ultimate makeover, like stereos, flat screen, video games.
My kids would die for this.
But they also get to meet the maker and the people involved.
Like Tony Hawk or something shows up.
The first one was Tony Hawk, so we skated with Tony Hawk.
Nice fella.
Yeah, totally cool.
He's a good man.
He's a good guy. Yeah, I agree.
The second one has to do with Halo 2.
Yeah.
Halo 2.
So I want to hear the story. Stryker was telling me something.
Which story?
He wouldn't tell me, and I want to hear the details.
It's an amazing story, and it's sad at the same time, but your best friend, as you said before, Rick Hillel.
Right.
For years growing up in your band, Red Hot Chili Peppers also. And you guys, maybe I'll just try to set it up, and if I'm wrong in any way, slap me around, but you guys used together drugs?
Sure, as I did with almost
everybody.
All of my friends.
Yeah, you would hang out with people that didn't use.
And then was there some point where both of you said to each other, let's just stop now?
Well, it was weird. I was more infamous for having a horrible drug habit. And he quietly sort of joined me in that ranking. He kept it in the shadows.
He wasn't as committed.
He was committed, but he didn't have the same reputation because he was a little bit quieter about it. Uh-huh. But quietly, you know, we as his friends, even myself with my own problems, watched him kind of go deeper and deeper and deeper into this. And it was weird to see a person who got a very late start in life of using kind of become so hurt by using.
Damaged,
you know, you can really see the kind of fire going out in his eyes, and the lack of physical health became very apparent. So we went on a little tour.
What is that? Light just goes out, doesn't it?
Oh,
what
it goes
is
out.
That?
It's terrifying.
I've seen it go out and it come back.
It comes back.
It's amazing.
If you live through it, it comes back.
I don't know. I wanted to write about that, and people told me it couldn't be.
Yeah,
it's a vivid thing.
Yep. You talked about Bob Forrest. That man was negative light.
He was a black hole.
Yeah, he was a black hole sucking in all light, and now he's a giant candle. So Hillel and I did discuss at some point, we're like, you know, we have to stop. This is just crazy. It's not working. We have no control. We have nothing to say. Once we start, we can't stop. We want to stop, but there's just no stopping. And it was just a lot of talking. Because the minute we got back from tour and we hit Hollywood, we just dispersed, you know, like so many little drops of mercury into the sort of ghetto, and started copping and using. And it had gotten to a point where we weren't even using together. Had we been using together, he probably wouldn't have died, because dealt with heroin overdose a lot with friends and reviving them. And we went into our separate corners of town and just started using ferociously. Cut to, I get a phone call from my girlfriend saying, you know, through her tears, your friend is dead. And I said, no, he's not. There's no way he's not. And he's like, oh, he's dead. So I went into instant survival denial, and then continued to use.
What's a great excuse to use?
Yeah, like a maniac.
Yeah.
Everyone set up a funeral for him. I could not attend. I left the country, tried to clean up, but had no chance, and kept getting high until it did not work. And I was using, and I could not shut off any of my feelings. And that's how I ended up in this little-known thing called rehab in the mid-'80s. And it was a pretty interesting experience, because when they came in there and they told me, they looked at a room of about 30-some people, and they said, if you're lucky, one person in this room will get clean and stay clean.
Wow.
And I was such a little egomaniac that I was like, everyone else can go home because I'm taking that spot. Thank you, good night.
That's interesting. Most addicts think, well, whatever.
No, I was determined to, you know, beat the odds when they challenged me and said, you know, no one really makes it, but maybe one.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I ran with that for about 5.5 years.
That time.
That time.
And then you were back on.
Takes what it takes.
And then you had to go back and fight it.
It's a chronic condition. It's marked by relapses. Yeah. And it takes what it takes to get sober.
It takes what it takes.
How many years was drug use fun?
Lots. I mean, you know, it's a very interesting experience, and I really don't regret it, or do I look at it as a horrible, it was all bad. It's lots of fun, you know, it's lots of fun to be in an altered state, you know, but there comes a time when the price is just way greater than the amount of fun or the amount of adventure or the amount of, you know, anything goes. The price just, it gets too high.
Does Hillel's family, do you have any contact with them, or are they...
A little bit. It's very difficult because not everybody understands so clearly the dynamics of the disease of drug addiction and alcoholism. Right. And people,
so they want to blame.
They want to blame. They don't understand, you know, my boy was a good boy. There's no way that could happen to my... He was hanging out with you. Maybe you were the problem. Like, no, not so much. We, you know, we did everything we could for each other, probably even more than sometimes the family step up to the plate. And it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The unbelievable story. Well said. And it's all in the book also, Scar Tissue, from Anthony Kiedis on Loveline. And maybe we can segue directly into Under the Bridge, which Drew had mentioned before the break. And
no, we don't have time.
No, not play it.
It's a story about Under the Bridge.
Oh, we got to go to a break.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Should we go to a break and then come back?
Better go to a break, yeah.
All right. Damn, time is flying by here.
Okay, I'll go.
You
going
to stay?
Can you hang out?
I'm hanging out.
Is that cool?
Yes,
all right, awesome. That's Anthony Kiedis, and we got more Loveline after this. Rick Rubin produced that track in the background right
that
there.
That sounds like some Rick to me.
That is Jay-Z's song, 99 Problems. All right, we're back on Loveline. Anthony Kiedis is here. I'm Stryker, and for Adam Carolla, he's back Sunday, I guess, Drew. Is that right?
That is right.
1-800-LOVE-191 to talk to Anthony from the Chili Peppers. If you read the book, call about the book, call about the Chili's. We're going to talk about the song Under the Bridge. Under the Bridge, downtown is where I drew some blood. Yeah. Under the bridge, downtown, I could not
There's
get
enough.
There's a story.
Enough.
There's a story.
You but see, hear it in the lyrics.
99 Problems.
Yeah.
That's a cover song.
It is?
It's a cover song.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. For who?
I believe that LL Cool J wrote that song and that Jay-Z is covering it.
Wow.
I'm not 100,000,000% sure.
Wow.
But I believe it's a cover song.
And
LL's it's a great cover.
Part of the day, part of the Rick Rubin thing way back in the day, right?
Yes, he is.
God. That's why he gets the house in Malibu.
If my pager worked in here, I'd find out from Rick, but no signal. So, yeah. The weird thing about Under the Bridge, I guess, is that it was written many years after I was already sober. Not so many, but a couple of few.
And first sobriety.
First sobriety, yeah. And I think I was 3 years sober when that sort of wealth of emotion rose
it.
Up.
Yeah.
And I just kind of thought back to myself, wow, I don't ever want to go back to that desperate, lonely, demoralized, gutted feeling.
And yet the cutting power of this disease.
Oh, yeah. It powered its way back in.
Oh, imagine that.
But that was a couple years down the line. coming back from rehearsal one day, just kind of reconnecting with the battleground that was downtown L.A. for me. That was kind of my using...
Were you actually driving through or walking through or something?
Driving, walking, skateboarding, in a pogo sticking, whatever transportation I could find.
In the day. But I mean, were you going back at that point, going through it and having all that come up?
At the moment that song sort of entered my mind, I was actually on the Hollywood freeway between the Valley and Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
But the idea... what happened is I was at a band practice and I got a little bit of that, you know, I am a man alone unto myself. No one really understands me, including my own damn band. Mm. And it kind of really pissed me off. And I was like, you know, okay, I've been through so much. I fought the war and won. I got sober and I'm still this little separatist among the universe.
Oh boy. You know where you were. You were this close to using.
And instead I just started singing about it,
right.
and it made sense. And I went home and I wrote this poem, and it had a melody, and it just sort of hung around in the back of my notebook for a while. And then the Bearded Wonder, a.k.a. Rick Rubin, came over to my house in his quiet way, and he started leafing through my lyrics. He's like, what's this? I was like, ah, it's nothing. That's not nothing. I got this other thing you should really see. He's like, no. This is nice. What's this? It goes like this, blah, blah, blah. He's like, wow, have you shown that to the boys? I was like, no, it's not really anything we need to show anybody. Mm-hmm. He's like, you go into rehearsal tomorrow and show the boys this song. We're going to make a song. And I was like, okay, I'll trust you. I'll do it. But you really should see this other one.
Right.
And I went in there. And my memory is that Flea wasn't there, but John and Chad were there. And so I just sang what I had, you know, probably in a weird, out-of-tune key. And Chad and John both looked at me for a minute, and then they didn't say anything, and they walked over to their instruments and just started playing. And I started singing, you know, again, probably out of key. But we found that was sort of the birth of our interest in doing, you know, really quiet, sort of balladeering-type tunes. Which has turned out to be great because the umbrella of being in the Red Hot Chili Peppers is vast and we can play whatever we want to play. There are no rules or limitations or styles or, you know, trends or anything that we're trying to be a part of. So anything goes, which is very helpful when you're writing music because some days you feel like playing something crazy and different that doesn't fit into a category. So that became our song. And then about 6 months later when it came out, you know, we had a certain degree of recognition in the world, but that sort of took it to a whole different place. And I started, you know, going up to urinals and there would be some guy, you know, taking next to me and he'd look over and he'd go, hey, under the bridge downtown. Hey,
what percent of people, I don't know what percent, but you think a lot of people got the song at the time?
that it was about reflecting on drug addiction and
correct.
Being lonely and desperate, mm-hmm. you know, in a under the bridge downtown. I think people connected for real on an emotional level on some sort of loneliness tip. You know, not necessarily, you know, injecting yourself with narcotics and being lonely and despondent and separate from the universe, but feeling that I am kind of here by myself feeling and no one quite gets me. I think people can all relate to that, and they did, and it definitely crossed some boundaries that we hadn't crossed before with our music.
That video was really good also. We're talking back in the day, but who directed that? Do you recall?
Gus Van Sant.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. I mean, the thing is so good. I love the part when, not when you're running, which is cool, but when you're just walking through, it has to be downtown. There's like Hispanic guys there. They got all their things set up. They're like patting you as you're walking, smiling. You're like kind of looking at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it was felt so L.A. and
Main Street or Los Angeles Street or something. Mm-hmm. Downtown.
Yeah.
No permits. Just Gus and a camera.
Oh, those were real people.
Oh yeah, yeah. We just took a walk.
Yeah, that's why it's so real. And
wow.
That's
interesting. I the word that brings in my head as it pertains to people's experience that song is truth. It's the truth.
Yeah, telling the truth about yourself.
It's the truth. It's about that feeling. It's the truth.
How about line six, Drew? We're talking to Anthony Kiedis, by the way, on Love Line, and you, 17-year-old Melissa, you're on. What's up?
Hey, Anthony. I just wanted to wish you a belated birthday.
Thank you, Melissa.
On Monday, right?
Happy November 1st. Thank you. Yeah. Where are you, Melissa?
I'm at my house in North Hollywood.
Okay. Right. Are you well?
Yes, I'm well. And I read your book, and I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
The book's getting read. Thank you.
The first book, I actually read the whole thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm gonna put it down. I really love the part where you guys all did that whole Spice Girls thing for Carla.
For Clara. Yeah, for Flea's daughter.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really funny.
It was actually really fun for us, too.
Something I think I would do for a niece like that.
Well, don't let me stop you.
All right.
Thanks, Melissa.
Bye.
Hold on.
And?
Bye.
And? I guess that's it. We'll take another book question.
Okay.
Antoine, 19.
Hi, Anthony. I'm a big fan. I love your music with the Red Hots. And
Thank
I read
you
your
kindly.
Book. And I noticed that you think you might be related to some Cherokee blood.
If it's Cherokee, it was a that's a big typo, but I'm going to call it a typo. It's actually Mohican.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what's your interest in Native Americans and the two tattoos on your shoulders? Who are they?
One is Chief Joseph, and one is Sitting Bull, and kind of representative of different approaches to dealing with the changes in this country. When they were around, one guy decided to take the big peaceful march into Canada because he sort of saw it as a lost cause in the USA, and the other guy decided to sort of, you know, fight until he could fight no more, and he ended up killing Custer. And so it's kind of the war and peace vibe on my shoulders, but. Yeah, that
quacutle on your back.
That's actually Haida. Yeah, Haida totem pole. But this was before I had any idea that I had so much as a drop of Native blood in me. That I didn't find out till about 4 years ago when some eccentric uncle went the distance and figured out the family tree back to the 1700s and found Mohican blood from New York on my grandmother's side, who died of an overdose of pills and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. That is that gene.
That's the gene.
Pete, what's up? 24 on Loveline.
Hey, yeah. I'm well endowed, and my fiance, she's tight. We have really hard.
That's a fine combination.
I don't think I've ever said that whole sentence in my life before. I'm very endowed, and my girl is tight. I just.
You mean her game is tight?
So, you have a hard time having missionary sex,
right?
So it always ends up her being on top. I mean, that's okay, but, you know, every once in a while, you know, I'd like to do something, too.
Astroglide, my friend. I'm serious.
So, how long has she been your girlfriend?
About 4 months.
Now, doesn't the female vagina, as opposed to the male vagina, find its way to expand around any particular size?
It's designed to make the head of a baby come through.
Right. Yeah. So eventually you should probably be able to work that in.
Right.
This is a bogus call, basically.
Any other positions that are
it's a bogus call.
Try the ceiling. Try going on the ceiling.
Look, you got to work it out together. We can't give you specifics. I mean, he's trying different things. You'll try to find what works.
Well, about the stretching of the vagina, though.
Yeah.
It can expand.
Another thing you've never had to say to
easy.
About your relationship. So, good night. Bitter. See you later, Stryker. Good times.
Yeah, Dr. Schwachter. It's going to you. Look, my lady's listening right now, driving home from Phil.
Yeah, well, she knows. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Come on. You're killing me, Larry.
Let's go.
Oh, no. Give me my water here. All right, hold on.
So here we go.
Back to the vagina stretch. And it fits around. Anything can fit in it. But it doesn't actually, you can't really stretch a vagina out and it becomes loose. Is that correct?
No, yeah, they spring right back.
So whatever you're dealt with as a woman with the size of the hole, that's the size.
After the baby's head comes through, it goes all back to normal.
So when a guy says the girl's loose.
He's saying something about himself.
Okay.
Not about her.
Got it. That he has a small wiener.
That's right.
You should know about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Bastard.
Because I'm broadcasting with you.
But
here's Jimmy.
Yes. No. Come on.
Well, no. There are definitely different textures and strengths to vaginas as you go through life.
Absolutely.
Some are sort of toned and.
And some are closed off. Some are clamped down.
Some are clamped down and some are actually seem to be biologically larger than others.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But it's not because they're stretched out.
They started off big.
That's just how they are. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, it's obviously a little bigger.
I thought it was
baby.
B. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah. So, Jimmy
21.
Hello?
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, this is Jimmy. We're big fans of the show. I'm a delivery driver and I listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep. Oh, we're riveted. Go ahead.
All right, and we got a question for you where I work. We got a bet going on. The dude wants to eat 3 pounds of mayonnaise. And we want to know what'll happen to him.
He'll throw up.
He'll throw up, that's it, nothing else can happen.
Why?
It sounds good to me. That sounds.
If he has active coronary disease, that's not the best way to manage it. But no, if he's a young, healthy person, he'll just be sick.
Where do you guys work in Tucson?
We work at the Pita Pit.
Never been there. I went to Mama's Pizza on University Drive.
That's what it's on. It's on University.
What does he get if he eats the mayonnaise? What does he win?
He gets $80.
I say go for it.
Definitely.
We used to do that on the road to amuse ourselves as a band.
You'd eat mayonnaise?
Yeah, we would eat, you know, someone say, you can't eat that pound of butter, and we would pass the hat and we get $100 and someone would eat the pound of butter if they could. Butter's tough.
Who took the most risks in the band eating for the $100?
The roadies, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Salad dressing, you know, large vats.
Would you get people to vomit doing it?
Well, the thing is, you have to hold it down for 5 minutes.
Vomit.
You have to not vomit 5 minutes, and then you can vomit, you know, to your
your heart's content. Yeah. Yes.
Jessica, 25, what's up? On Loveline with Anthony Kiedis.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
My question for you guys is that I was in a relationship for a long time, and the guy would ejaculate in me, and I never had any problems.
Mm-hmm.
This new guy I'm dating, I find that there's more of a smell, and I'm more of a germaphobe, so I use everything under the sun thinking that it's me, and then I went to the gynecologist, and nothing's wrong with me, but I still can't.
That was a smart thing to do because it can be bacterial infections in you, but some guys got the funk going on.
Just like some girls have the funk.
Wait, semen funk?
Some guys, yeah.
You are kidding me.
No.
I've never heard of semen funk.
When I'm down there, there's no problem.
When you're having oral sex?
Yeah.
So it's the combo of you two.
Yeah, so that's my question. Is there some sort of combination between us?
There must be. You've done the experiments.
Yeah.
you've tested for you. It's negative. You tested for him, and yet together there's something. So what are you going to do?
Have you told him he has an odor when he ejaculates?
No, he doesn't, because that's the point. It's only when it's in her, because when she has oral sex, no smell.
I haven't told him that when he does in me, I haven't told him.
Yeah, but who cares?
What about a diet change? Just for an experiment?
I don't know. He drinks a lot of beer. I would think that's, you know, pretty healthy.
No, beer is not healthy. Not good for semen.
Pineapple.
But be that as it may, you're telling me his semen does not have a funk unless it's mixed with you.
Yes.
So if you drink his semen straight from the pipe,
the source,
then no problem.
No funk.
By the way, I congratulate you on drinking from the pipe, by the way.
Thank
straight
you.
From it. Good job.
God bless.
So, yeah, I just wanted a doctor's perspective because there's no way I could talk about this to my gynecologist.
I like trying diet for a change.
You should be able to talk to your gynecologist about this. I absolutely should. But
she's okay. She's okay. She's not bad if I wanted to.
All right. But the deal is I still think it's probably more him than you. I bet you.
Okay.
Because I've not heard of that.
There's things like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily
tainted
mean
semen?
It's not tainted. It's just
reactive?
Just reactive. It's chemistry, exactly. It's just personal chemistry.
Go to five. Pull out for a while. If you can. Hey, Renee, you're 19 on Loveline. What's up?
Hi. I just want to ask Anthony Kiedis when he's coming to Australia.
Well, not soon enough. How about that?
Well, Renee, you're in Pasadena.
Yes, I am.
Well, when are you going to Australia?
I'm going back on the 18th of November.
What are you doing in Australia? In Pasadena, rather.
I'm visiting friends.
You come from Australia to Pasadena?
Sorry?
I just have to say, Oz is lovely, and I hope to spend a decent percentage of my life in your country.
Oh, I hope so, too.
Gorgeous place.
But why would you go from Australia to Pasadena?
Oh,
that's going upstream.
Sorry?
Friends.
Why would you go from Australia to Pasadena?
Friends, man.
I'm just curious.
Well, just to visit friends. And
to visit friends.
Visit America.
Where in Australia are you from?
I'm from Sydney.
Have you been to Broome?
No, not really.
I want to go to Broome.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's in the middle of nowhere, and they have great storms, and it's on the ocean, and it's just magically pure, unspoiled.
Everybody
nature.
Who goes to Australia comes back saying, "Oh, the people! You got to go. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
It is
so nice. It's fun."
What about the fans of music out there? I hear they're kind of similar to the LA US crowd in terms of, I don't want to use hypnosis as a word, but just into it, and their enthusiasm for American music is pretty strong comparatively
They're just generally enthusiastic people. You know, it's an outdoors life. It's a good life down there.
They surf. They're into the music, lifestyle.
It's a healthy lot down there.
Well, Renee, how do you like Pasadena so far?
I like it. It's really pretty, but I want to see more of the country.
It's where I live in Pasadena.
You should get to Bakersfield. It's beautiful.
Where are you relative to the Rose Bowl right now?
I'm off Orange Grove. I'm not entirely sure. Near old Pasadena.
That's tough for an out of town.
That's where I live.
Really?
Why don't you go to Drew's house at 12 and help
him
out?
Where Jed lives too, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, Renee, have a good time.
Do you need to give out
No.
Orange Grove, everybody.
Yes. Okay. Right near the good old doctor. Hold on one second. Anthony, where's your favorite place to play in L.A.?
In L.A.?
Yeah.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
In L.A.?
Where?
Nowhere in L.A. is the point there.
Well, it would be the Palladium if the sound was better because it's, it's a stand-up situation. I like it at the Palladium.
What about of small places when you guys were on the up and up? Was it the Roxy Whiskey? Was it Troubadour?
At that time, the Lingerie was kind of a hot place to
Lingerie.
Play. Yeah.
Is that on way east on Santa Monica?
No, Sunset.
Sunset.
Yeah,
okay.
And before that, Cathay de Grand.
Oh, my God, those were all the old.
You remember the Cathay de Grand?
Yes, early 80s.
Oh, yes.
Early 80s. Peyton, 17.
Hello? Dr. Durr, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
It's kind of complicated.
All right.
being that you're such an authoritative on drugs and all of that, my father, way back in the 70s, he was addicted to heroin, when he was like 15 to 20.
Yeah.
And he kicked it back then, except with the exception of like four times since then had he ever done it. And last year, in November, I know that he did it at that time, and because he told me he got an infection in his it was in his leg or on the vein, and it eventually went to his heart.
Right.
But
that's a very, very common way that heroin addicts die.
Yeah.
Very, very common.
Yeah, but what actually happened? He was in the hospital for 19 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gotten it to where it had pretty much gone away, or the risk of the severe risk of it, I guess, had gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And on Christmas Eve when we went there, they had given him some shot, and it was something wrong with it. I don't know exactly what it was, but he was either allergic to it or something like that. But it was making him stop breathing, and and they had something that could counteract it, but they didn't give it to him.
No, you're missing, Peyton. You're missing the story, my dear. You need to, if you really want to find out what happened, you have to get the medical record out. Your perception of what's happening is not.
They won't give it to him.
Well, it's not accurate.
To figure out.
He's lucky to have lived. The condition he had kills most people. He probably had his heart valve probably blew out, which is what happens from that infection, or he threw what's called a mycotic infarct or aneurysm, where the infection moves up to the brain. They throw these sort of strokes up to the brain off the heart valve, and that's usually what takes people late in the course, where they think they're getting better and suddenly they die. That's usually what that is. It's a very serious disease he had. Okay.
What about you, Peyton? How are you doing? You seem like you're going. Are you take drugs or are you clean?
Oh yeah, totally. I wouldn't, because of that, I would never do it. It still upsets me because it's only been a year and.
Right.
The heroin addiction is what killed him, not the hospital.
Because, we still haven't been able to get.
Peyton, listen. The heroin addiction killed him, not the hospital.
Okay. They haven't told us what he died of or anything.
Peyton, the condition he had was he had two fatal conditions: heroin addiction and a heart valve infection. They clearly did a good job of keeping him alive as long as they did. These are very dangerous conditions. The disease killed him, not the hospital.
You're talking about endocarditis.
Endocarditis.
Yeah.
Did you ever have that?
Nope.
Yeah. It's a bad times.
All right.
All right. We take a break.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right, Peyton. I'm sorry that happened. I hope you start feeling better. We're going to take a break. Anthony's here from the Chili Peppers. The book is Scar Tissue. Talk more about the book. Get into some more stuff with me, Stryker, and Dr. Drew on Loveline. All right, Loveline. Got about a half hour left. Anthony Kiedis is here. I'm Stryker and Dr. Drew. Anthony's going to stay the rest of this segment, hang out. The book is Scar Tissue, and it's doing pretty well from what I hear. And I am going to read it. You have my word when I see you again, Anthony. Call me out on it. And okay.
It was Ice Cube.
O'Shea Jackson for 99 Problems.
99 Problems. It's, yeah. Jay-Z rewrote the verses, but it was Ice Cube's song.
We actually played the song, the Jay-Z version, on K-Rock, and it went over pretty well.
It's a great song.
It is.
It rocks.
His lyrics are ridiculous.
The lyrics are great. The beat is ridiculous. I know when you walk into a club and you hear that coming through the sound system, you just want to get down.
Mm-hmm.
On the dance floor.
And I can get down. No, not really.
He was looking at me when he said that. Come on.
Oh, he was?
Yep. Here we go. Julie is 26.
All right. What's
Hi.
Up, Julie? Hey.
I just had a quick question about, ever since I can remember, since puberty, when I squeeze, if I squeeze my breast, I can get like a milky substance out.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
I've always been able to do that.
Are you on medication?
Well, I'm on birth control pills now, but I wasn't before.
No other medicine?
No.
Any history of thyroid problems?
Not that I know of. I remember I was checked just as like part of a routine.
If you ever had there are prolactin secreting tumors. Have you ever been checked for that?
No, that doesn't sound nice. I know my mom said that my aunt had the same problem, or not necessarily problem, but the same thing.
Yeah,
and
well,
I don't know if she was ever treated for it, but
the other thing, some women just the like rubbing of the nipple can cause a little stimulation.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a problem.
No,
it
doesn't have to be, but it's you want to know it if it is. You know what I mean? If you have expanding tumor in the pituitary, you need to know about
it. Like I can work it out, and it'll be.
No, I understand, but that's not so to speak normal. It doesn't mean that there's a serious problem, but some women are very sensitive to that. The oxytocin is stimulated by the just breast irritation.
But
prolactin secreting tumor is actually very, very common, and you should know if you have prolactinoma.
Prolactinoma?
You should just be checked for that. That's all.
Check it out.
Not a big deal. Yeah.
I had a doctor ask me one time and told me to get on testosterone.
To put you on testosterone without checking?
Well, I can put you, you know, I can have you take testosterone pills and something of that effect. And I was like, well, I don't want to grow a mustache. I just want
No. You don't want to treat anything unless there's a problem.
Milk mustache.
You know, No. You're fine. You're good. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Julie.
I've never been with a girl who had milk coming out of her boobs before.
I'm sorry.
I would be a little. No, I don't know if I'd be scared or quench my thirst. I'm not sure what I would do at that point.
Is it true that you can make breasts grow larger by fondling them repeatedly?
No.
No,
they will appear fuller. They can engorge in the moment and things, but they will as a part of sexual arousal for some women. There's a certain amount of, really? And it depends on their level of estrogen. You know how much estrogen in their system, and how much body fat they have. But you can't really stimulate them to grow, per se.
Damn. Okay, just checking.
You can stimulate them to produce milk though.
Skim milk. Angel 17 on Loveline with Anthony Kiedis.
Angel.
Hey, I was just wondering how you got into music.
Well, I started off listening to Madness. Oh, sorry.
Me too. Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was talking to Drew.
Go ahead.
Take it away, Drew. How did someone get into music?
Yeah, like...
I think it starts by you hear it. You hear it and you feel funny. That you feel good. You feel, you know, aroused. And I don't know. I got into playing music because all of my best friends were really disciplined musicians who decided to make that their life early on. And since I had no clear chosen path as a teenager with what I wanted to do with my life, I just kind of fell in league with my friends. So it was very accidental and fortunate and fun and exciting for me. But get into it as an appreciator of it. Is that what you meant?
The playing.
Like, yeah, playing. How did you get into, like, wanting to become, like, an artist?
I guess I was just a big ham. and I liked rocking the mic. And I grew up in a kind of a theatrical household with a father who was an actor and a writer and a little bit of a poet. And it just, you know, it seemed like something I could be good at.
You listening to any commercial-type music these days that you're into, or are you into
I'm into anything that feels good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't... I don't care if it's commercial or anti-commercial or whatever. Yes. That's a record that drives me crazy.
Karen, oh. Yeah. Yeah, she's good.
She really is.
I went to... On Halloween, we had Marilyn Manson play. He went as Karen O.
He did.
Yeah, it was great.
Was he a good Karen O?
He was.
Wow.
He had his head shaved on the side, hair pulled over. Exact makeup.
There's also a band called The Tints.
Okay.
Which have not recorded yet, but are playing clubs in LA that are pretty interesting.
Nice.
Flea's daughter happens to be the drummer. Just happens to be.
Very good.
She's a rocking little musician.
And we can probably see where they're playing. Just check out an LA Weekly and find them.
Yeah.
Probably do something like that. Speaking of tomorrow, though, Lakers, Spurs.
Right.
I'm going to that game.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we gotta talk where we're sitting and stuff.
Okay,
I'll look for you.
Yeah,
I have a son that's into music. He was, he'd love to meet you.
Well, that's me.
That'd be great.
The Lakers are 1-1. First game looked great yesterday against Utah. Andre Krylenko in Utah destroyed him.
Yeah, he's good though.
That guy's amazing. We do, because we're Lakers and basketball fans, this is cool to talk about. How do you think they're going to do?
Horribly, and it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful to have a horrible team that you have to struggle with and watch rebuild and go through this process.
Minute. Everyone that's been a Dodger fan understands what that is.
Yeah, every other city in America has to go through this thing of having a lousy team, and you stick with them when they're lame. And you just, you know, hope for the best. But it's going to be a different season for us.
I hope they win at least half, 41 games.
We'll see.
That would be, I think, maybe a good point to reach. Where are we going, Dr. Drew?
Jessica,
what's up? You're 26 on Loveline.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey, I had a question for actually anyone who wants to answer it. I'm 26 years old, and I have never dated before in my life. I really have no experience. And I was wondering if you guys...
Why not? Why haven't you dated?
Well, I was molested for about 4 or 5 years as a child, and when I was 14, you know, I had to start working to support my family, so I really haven't had time.
What'd you do at 14 to make enough money to support the family?
Oh, I didn't support them by myself. I just helped. I did odd jobs for people, you know, taking care of their kids, you know, babysitting, that sort of thing.
You said you were sexually abused?
Yeah.
From when to when?
From age around 4 or 5 to age 10.
Look, that's why you didn't date.
Yeah.
That's why it has nothing to do with. A lot of people are busy and work and going to school and graduate school. They date. There's a drive. People need that, a part of normal part of life, unless something has scrambled that and the sexual abuse.
Yeah, and I've had the desire for a while. I just really have no experience.
No, Jessica, please. No. Look, it's more than not having experience. You must feel very ambivalent and fearful and
actually,
all kinds
not really.
Of.
Really, I've been through about 4 years of therapy for it. And, you know, I feel okay at this point, okay enough to sort of get into it. But
all right, then just go.
Have you had a loving sexual experience recently?
Never.
Never been in love or had a physical encounter with anyone?
No, I did have a long-distance boyfriend for about 4 years when I was from age 10 to 14, but that was it.
That's not 10 to 14 is not a boyfriend, Jessica.
Well, it's the closest thing I've had to a relationship.
Is there someone that you like now that you want to sort of experiment with?
No, there's nobody in mind.
Well, you're 26. You've had 4 years of therapy, which is certainly commendable.
A beginning.
You just got to, like, grab them and do it. And I think maybe that'll get the ball rolling, don't you think, Drew?
I think you have to go for it. I think life is short, and you want to get over the bad experience by making a new, better experience. And when you meet someone that you dig, just take your clothes off when the time is right and okay. Pray to God to have no fear and just have a positive experience.
I'm frustrated. I don't know what you want from us, Jessica.
I'm just curious if you have any advice on how to do that. I really am coming from zero knowledge about this.
Do you have any friends?
Yeah, I do have friends, and they all talk about dating, and I'm just completely lost.
And you're going to stay lost. You're going to be attracted to guys that are bad, and you're going to have to be very careful with who you date.
You should watch reruns of Growing Pains.
And you should ask your friends to set you up. And whenever a guy seems to be interested, just ask him out. Just consider it. So you're having fun. You're involving yourself with people. Don't think of it as dating. Think of it as passing time and getting to know interesting people.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Good luck, Jessica.
I actually had. Adam's not there tonight. I actually had a comment for him.
Go ahead.
Last night, I believe he was complaining about living in 800 square feet.
When he was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally trump that. I lived with my parents and four siblings in an 18-foot travel trailer for 4 years. So.
Being sexually abused the whole time.
Actually, no. It didn't start until after we moved out of the trailer. I had a male babysitter. And that's when it started. Yeah, and my dad let him live there after he found out, too.
So. Oh.
Yeah, he said it was my fault and just said, just act sexy when you're around him.
Oh, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Have no fear and go out there and meet people and engage in life.
All right, cool.
All right.
Great.
And kudos on using the word Trump, by the way. It seems to be everyone is using that word lately. You like that word, Drew?
Trump?
Yeah, I like it.
In the context of a man's name or bridge?
No, and using it like dating someone smart trumps someone that's good looking.
That's bridge.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, from 16.
Yes.
Greg. Hi.
Yeah. All right. I'm in history class, and we were watching Last of the Mohicans, and somebody asked about the Mohicans, and my history teacher said that I believe Last of the Mohicans started out as a book, maybe not, but the author made a mistake. And that Mohicans was actually a mixture of two tribes, and I was wondering like how your uncle traced it back to that tribe. Since
I don't know.
what are the two tribes? Was one of them Cherokee?
I believe one of them was Mohawks,
and the other.
And I'm not sure about the other.
The Freakins. The Freakins and the Mohawks got together.
If it were Cherokee, and maybe your author
I
buddy
don't think
looked
so.
That up.
I don't think the Cherokees were ever anywhere near New York.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Neoria.
Hello, guys.
What a name.
Neoria?
And what a voice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you live in Peoria?
I'm sorry?
No, never mind.
What's that? Say it again.
I said, do you live in Peoria?
No, I don't.
Okay.
She lives in L.A.
Other Yoria. I first of all want to say, Anthony, so glad for the Chili Peppers. Love the energy. Love the music you guys have to offer to the universe. It's just awesome.
Thank you.
Rock on. Anyways, moving on. My question is, broke up with a boyfriend for 4.5 years because he cheated. Jack. Anyways, I'm dating a model.
Was that his name, by the way, that you threw in?
No, he's a Jack. You know.
Oh, okay. Jack.
He's a Jack.
Oh, okay.
You're dating a male model now.
There.
Stay focused, honey. You're dating a male model now.
Yes, I'm dating a male model.
And the question is?
I have a hard time trusting him. It's like, I don't believe anything. I don't...
How old is he?
He's 26.
You don't trust him because he's a hot-looking model guy or because the last guy cheated on you?
Or because you're always attracted to guys that are cheaters.
I'm attracted to rockers and troublemakers. Yeah, and just,
right, well, there you go. Well, that's that, there's you can do something about that. But once you are involved with those guys, they aren't changing.
See, this guy now, he's a model. Yes, he is very good looking. He's a sweet guy, but I just have a hard time.
You're completely.
We didn't get her.
You're avoiding this. Listen, you're the one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just looking through the window here at Heather, who stuck her finger down her throat at the mention of the male model.
He must be gay, right?
Me?
No.
You can tell if you're in an honest experience with somebody, and if your relationship is based on honesty, then you know you can't go around distrusting everyone. But
look, with Nioria, you're attracted to bad guys. Unless you go out with guys that are not quite so exciting, you can expect this kind of behavior for people in their 20s who are exciting the way you like it.
See, but my last boyfriend was 10 years older than me, so...
Because girls don't like the rated PG guy, Dr. Drew. They like the rated R guy.
That's why it took him a little while to cheat. He's not quite so much energy, but it's still going to end up in the same place. Nora just smacks of addiction to me. you smell addiction?
Why do you think nice guys in the younger years, and maybe even older, don't really get a lot of girls? Because most girls, I think, don't like the super just nice guy. It's too plain.
Drew's married.
I'm plain.
You're what? See? No, there's an exception to everything, of course.
I'm looking at that wedding ring.
It's, you know what it is? People get old and lose the will to live. They settle down.
All right. Is that it, Drew?
That's it.
All right.
Well, we kept Anthony as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Anthony. Although you're welcome to stay at the end of the show if you want. It's up to you.
I'd stay all night if I didn't have to leave right now.
Thank you for hanging out for so long.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to read the book. I've got to fill in for Adam a bunch of times. This was definitely probably my most fun time doing it for Adam, just because your band and yourself. I'm such a huge fan of the band.
Thank you.
And so eloquent when you talk. Great stories. And it was just...
riveting stories.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
It was great. I had a great time. And it flew by like that. The book, you guys, is called Scar Tissue. Find out Anthony's story from just being a little guy and smoking pot with his dad all the way through... till when, I guess? Till about right now in your life it goes to?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And look for new Chili Peppers in about a year?
Less than a year.
Less.
We're working.
We're going to play that live album a bit. Huh?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Throw on Brandy some more. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, guys.
Say hi to John.
I will.
And Flea.
Yes.
And Chad. Chad the drummer. He's the man.
Yep.
All right, you guys. More Love Line after this. Goodbye, Anthony.
Bye.
All right, this beat, Drew. All right, Stryker here on Loveline with Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Yeah.
Drew, that was fun with Anthony.
That was fun.
They've sold millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of records.
Cool.
It is unbelievable. And what's so cool, I think, is they're from my backyard.
Mm.
Like, literally, the high school he went to, uni, before he went to Fairfax, is where all my brothers went.
Wow.
I couldn't go to that school. I had to go to a different one because all my friends went to the Pally school.
Mm.
And then I got a permit to go. But anyway, just crazy seeing someone from your backyard just blowing up. I know it's unbelievable. How do you think he's doing?
Outstanding.
You being in...
Oh, yeah. That's what recovery is supposed to be about. That's what it's about.
Which is what now?
Just that ease of being able to manage one's own feelings and tell one's own story and own it and, you know, be honest and clear and at ease with it.
Right.
That's it.
Pretty impressive.
Being a human being.
Yep.
Let's go in one's own skin. Here's David, 19.
Hey, guys. Well, I discovered there's like a reddish tint to my sperm. It's kind of
good times.
Freaking me out. And,
This is the Thousand Island Syndrome.
What's that?
I don't know what that is.
Thousand Island dressing.
Oh, okay. I know the color of it. Oh, that's what it is? Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I did a little research, and I think it's called, like, hematospermia, but...
That's what it's called.
His research, pain.
That's something I should be worried about, or just...
Well, what did your research tell you?
Well, it didn't really tell me anything. It said it's common in some men, like, after prostate biopsies, but it didn't say if I should have this looked at right away.
You don't have to be airlifted to a urologist. I would suggest a doctor look at it just to be sure, because there's a many, many other different conditions can predispose to this, but the vast majority of times, this is nothing. It's a common thing that usually
amounts to nothing. So is it bad times or good times or no times?
It's no times. Don't worry. I wouldn't sweat it. Get it checked out just for completeness sake, but you do not have to sweat.
No, you do have to sweat. And the reason is, if you're with a girl and you let loose on the stomach and it's brown and not white, she's going to be like, what the hell's wrong with you?
So what?
What do you mean, so what? That's tough to deal with.
All right. It's good. So go get it checked out. They're not going to be able to do anything to stop it if it's something that occurs occasionally anyway. Just don't take any aspirin or anti-inflammatories. This is Drew, 18.
Yeah, Kate. My question is I've been dating my girlfriend for a little over a year now, and for some reason I feel like I can't trust her. Why do you think that would be?
Because you're 18?
Yeah, but we've also...
Because you found a used condom in the car?
No.
What has she been doing? Has she been doing anything to lead you to this?
She has a lot of guy friends that she's been friends with for years.
How's the relationship going?
We're really close and stuff. I mean, we see each other every day. We spend time with each other every day. But we get in quarrels a lot just about stupid things.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even paying attention.
Yeah, he's not giving us much. Here's the deal, Drew. You need to be able to talk with her. If you're starting to fight all the time, you're feeling like she's straying, she's giving you some funny vibes, you're 18, you've been together for a while.
Maybe she wants out.
Yeah,
right?
It's supposed to run its course. And just as we wanted out of that call, maybe she wants out of the
I have a question for you about fighting in your relationship.
Yeah.
How healthy is it?
If you're fighting fair... Mm-hmm. You know, and if you are not getting hostile and resentful,
right?
Then of course, humans, you know, you can't spend a lot of time with somebody and not have little bursts of anger,
right? It's got to be healthy if you're over it in 10 minutes, of you.
Yeah.
You're like, fine, we're ending it now, and they agree. Okay, we're stop fighting now. Then you're like, let's go eat.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Any other questions about your relationship?
I'm all right then.
All right.
How much is that going to cost me, that question?
Zero.
No, because I got an argument today.
And was about?
I don't want to say the reason why. I was frustrated. What?
Go ahead.
I was frustrated. Last night, I wanted to...
have sex. And?
And she was really tired. And I was in a really good mood, and I wanted to.
I know, but that's...
So I woke up frustrated.
No, bye-bye. I have one piece of advice for you.
Yes.
Get used to it.
This is
a very common thing between men and women. And women have... Here's the thing I'm often having to coach females, the partners on, which is you don't understand. You don't understand. It's not about you. It's about there's this biological rhythm, and it has to be dealt with. And
especially
you have to help
last
him
night
deal with it.
So I woke up frustrated.
Of course. And irritable and angry and stuff.
Yes.
You have to be also understanding that women's biology is different. You have to kind of contend with
and
that.
And I tried. And then
but there needs to be a compromise. Yeah. You need to kind of work on it together. But there has to be an acceptance of... Because women start going, he's hounding me, and all he wants me for is, no.
Right.
No.
Oh, is this show taping?
No.
I have to play the segment
but
back.
But it is in that moment that maybe all you're looking for, but it's in you. It's just part of your biology, and it has to be dealt with.
I tried to explain. It
and
wasn't
if, you,
just...
if she doesn't deal with it, God deals with it for you.
Right. I almost, in the middle of the night, just went to go watch Cinemax and just, like, get the job done. But
yeah,
I
and then
didn't.
They take that again as a personal thing.
Right.
No. It's a plumbing thing.
Right, it's a plumbing thing.
That's
a plumbing thing.
I'm backed up, man. Seriously.
His plumbing's backed up.
Yes.
Women do not have a plumbing that has to be flushed regularly.
No.
They may kind of feel like that sometimes, but not to have it.
Thank God she's not listening. My friend Peter probably is. All right. Easy. And Nasredna. Where are we going?
Let's try this.
Right. Oh!
How is this?
Son of a bitch. Hello?
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 Hi, what's up?
Okay. You guys are always saying on the air how if someone's had like an abusive past or abandoned in their past, that's sort of the relationship they're looking for, right?
Tends to be that case. The sources of terror in childhood become sources of attraction in adolescence and adulthood.
Okay. Well, I've been married to my wife about 6 months. She's been in abusive relationships before me. She was abandoned by her dad when she was 10. And now we fight all the time. She just keeps, like, poking at me and, like, just trying to really irritate me.
Right. She's trying to push you away. People that have been through those kinds of relationships can't tolerate closeness. And when they actually are involved with somebody, they have to sabotage it.
Okay, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I love her to death.
Yeah, I know. Then it's time to commit and get some treatment for her, because this isn't something you're going to be able to change on your own. She's had a lot of trauma. It needs treatment. It's not going to change. You're not going to be able to change her. And this relationship is going to be unstable because of what's going on internally in her. Get her to a qualified therapist. There you go.
Makes sense to me. Yeah. Now, how many days do I need to clean pipes? Do you guys need to do that?
Every guy's different. I mean, some guys are on a daily,
I think
a daily thing.
If I'm not masturbating, I got to be every other day with the person.
Huh.
Maybe every day.
I think it's like, oh my God, I'm every day. I think 2-3 times a week. How old are you?
Old.
You're young. 2-3 times a week would be normal. I mean, it's sort of maintenance.
Okay.
You know, just prevent frustration.
Prevent frustration. Health. Yes.
Yes. All right, take a break. We'll talk more.
We're going to take a break. More of the maintenance after this and the tube cleaning. Hold on.
Love Line, wrapping it up. Dr. Drew.
Thank you once again.
Good show.
You make it so easy to come in. Not that it's so easy, but you make it comfortable to come in.
Well, you're comfortable to work with.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Also, thanks to Anthony Kiedis for coming in. His book is called Scar Tissue. Look for new Chili Peppers in 2005. I am Stryker. Thanks to Anderson over there as well. What's his name? We'll come in on Sunday. What's his name?
It's David Alan Greer.
David Alan Greer. Oh, I know Adam Carolla. Yes. I was trying to think
David
of
Alan Greer.
David Alan Greer and Adam. So for Dr. Drew, I am Stryker saying goodbye.
Look, with all my other boyfriends, I've only given them hand jobs.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.